It's been a good day in God's house. It's been a good day. I just want to tell you, if you missed this morning, it's okay. You can, as soon as we're done tonight, you can, you know, if you're restless and you can't sleep, I'd encourage you to go on our website. You know, that doesn't sleep either, you know. You just get on there, and I would encourage you to listen to the morning service that just talked about freedom. Free at last, you know, and this is not a human rights free at last. This is that good news of Jesus free at last. That's an eternal freedom that I want to just continue to talk about with you for a few minutes. And if you can't get enough after that, by Tuesday, you got to catch that 3 o'clock service that we had today, Why Jesus Came, which was talking about more freedom and more freedom that we have in Jesus. And it's so good to know that, you know, service after service, song after song, we're going to talk about the same thing. It's the love of Jesus Christ. You know, the message doesn't change. It's amazing, you know, when we look at society and all that we're bombarded with in multimedia, and especially because I used to be in the music industry, and I got to say this, you know, I have found that the music industry outside of Jesus has become incredibly boring, really boring, right? You know, it's the same message. You know, every new song is about baby this, baby that, baby don't leave me, baby I love you, baby you hurt me, baby love me back, baby this. And for some reason, they keep selling records, right? You know, it's one song is Baby, I Love You, and then the other one is, it just switched the words. I don't know. It's just all the same song, and it's lifeless. It really is. But praise God, we sing the same song here, and it's got full of life, and it becomes new every time we sing it. Jesus, you love us. Jesus, you care about us. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. And that song just gets better and better every time. It's awesome. Okay, some of you are still not with me. That's all right, because I'm going to preach this. No, we're going to... Listen, I just want to leave this little message with you. It's titled, No More Hiding. And I was just really blessed because, you know, Elder Jerry had said at the beginning of his message earlier, he said, man, if we could just get a stereo and just play back Pastor Williams' message, that would be good. And I said to him earlier, I said, man, for the message I have after what you delivered, if we could just put you up on the screen, Elder Jerry, and just run that back for the 6 o'clock, we right on track. So it's been the same message about good news. And I'm sharing right from the book of Genesis. Just listen to me real quick. I won't keep you too long. And I'm reading out of chapter 1, just a couple of verses. And God said this in the beginning. You know, he said, let us make man in our image. And I love, because God said, let us. And I truly believe he was talking about himself and his son, Jesus. You know, he and the son, one, and they're speaking together. Let us, you know, here they are. They'd spent a lot of time already over the last 6 days just creating. You know, if you want to talk about great art, God is the master of art. Nobody knows how to create like God does, you know? I mean, you wake up tomorrow, and I know we have to, for us here in New York, we have to look through a lot of the smog and fog and whatever we got floating in the air. But if you take a hard look up and maybe catch some blue tomorrow morning, recognize and know this, that it was the master that created that. The birds, the waters. And so he had spent about 6 days just creating light and creating darkness and then just opening up land and creating the earth and waters just kind of flooded up, creating the seas and the lakes and the oceans. I mean, he and his son are just, they're just having fun. Man, just creating, you know, it's just masters of art and just, you know, creating trees and the earth and red dirt and black dirt and brown dirt and the sand. I bet you they had a lot of fun creating the beach layout. Our beaches aren't that great in New York, but the ones down in Florida, oh man, or in the islands, I mean, they're just breaking things up, man, just having fun and just creating for 6 days. And then they come to this point after all that they had created, then they come up with this great idea. Let's create something that looks like us. Yeah. And so he begins to shape us. And we're made in his image. And I love this. He says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I mean, how incredible is that? That God would create all of these great things over 6 days. Then he'd make us in his image. Then he'd say, let's let them run things. The ones that we created in our image, we're going to let them subdue the land and just have at it. I mean, what kindness and mercy that is, that God would do that, that he'd create us and then say, go ahead, have fun. I mean, just basically created this huge playground for us. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Have dominion over it. And you would think that, man, this is the life, that we have everything that we need. And scripture goes on to tell us that he had created man, and you know, and then at some point, God's like, okay, man looks really lonely right now. You know, after all that we've created, he needs a really good helper. And so scripture tells us that he puts Adam into this really deep sleep. So this guy falls asleep for a very long time. And God, in his mastery, you know, just reaches in and just goes right into the flesh and pulls out a rib. And then with just a rib, he creates woman. She didn't have a name yet. You know, he just creates this beauty, you know. I'm reminded of that beauty every time I put my eyes on my wife, you know? And then he wakes up, you know? Could you imagine Adam waking up and just, whoa, man! You know? And the two become one, and they take dominion, and everything's there. And then God says that you can eat of every tree in the garden. I mean, because you want to talk about some amazing fruit, man. Whoa. I mean, the fruit that God created in that first garden, my goodness. He said, you can eat of all of it, but you can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm just telling you, just don't eat of that. And as the story goes on, a serpent, a snake, the devil in the form of a snake, comes and meets Eve, the woe man. And he begins to deceive her. He deceives her. And he asks her, you know, did God really say that you couldn't eat of this particular tree? And, you know, and she... not sure how to approach that. And she, well, he just said we could eat of all of these trees, but not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the deception of the enemy to go on and to tell her, oh, no, you don't have to worry about that. This tree's fine. He just doesn't want you to be as wise as him, because if you eat of this tree, your eyes will open and you'll be like God. And she's convinced. She's convinced in just what she was struggling with in her flesh, you see. You know, Elder Jerry had talked about these three problems that we have: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the scripture tells us in this story that after the serpent, the snake, talked to her, that she looked. And the scriptures tell us that when she looked at the fruit, she said, but it, for her, it was just, it looked good for the body. So she said, she was sure that it would taste good for the body. That it would be, it would really be good. You know, it's like that moment when you know that your body needs some right nutrition and you should be on a good diet. And all of a sudden you see this huge, huge chocolate cake. But you know that the doctor said that you needed to stay away from dessert. And that you can't be doing this. And everything about it says it's going to taste really good. That's the moment that Eve had, because, you know, but truthfully, right, that is a lust of the flesh in that moment that Eve had. that because I think and believe that this is going to be good for my body, I've got to have it. And then scripture goes on to say that it looked good. Not only did she come to a place where she believed that it would taste good and be good for my body, but just the appearance of it looked good. And then what capped it off was the fact that she truly believed that she'd be wise as God. And so scripture tells us that she eats of the fruit. And then scripture goes on to tell us that she gave it to the man. She gave it to her husband. She gave it to Adam. She gave it to her boo. I don't know how that all worked out, but he went ahead and just ate the fruit. And we don't got to figure out who was really wrong, this, that, or whatever, like, whatever. They both just ate the fruit. And then when they ate the fruit, my brothers and sisters, scripture tells us that their eyes were suddenly opened and they realized that they were naked and suddenly ashamed. And suddenly trying to figure out what to do. You see, before then, being naked, being without clothes, wasn't a problem. Before they had eaten the fruit, they walked around like that with no clothes, with God all the time, in perfect fellowship, in right relationship. Because all that they saw about themselves naked was simply them being a reflection made in the image of God, walking in perfect harmony with their maker, walking in perfect harmony with their master. But when they decided to do something in disobedience, as Elder Jerry said it earlier today, there became a wall of separation, that being sin that happened in that moment that then allowed them not able to recognize themselves in the image of God, but only to recognize we messed up. That in that moment of disobedience, suddenly right there, there's this shame and then this guilt, knowing that I've done something wrong. God didn't put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to tempt them. And the fruit definitely wouldn't have made them smarter. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was simply just really for Adam and Eve to recognize, look, just be in obedience with me. Amen. You know, the only thing good about this tree is the knowledge of you knowing that it is a good thing for you not to eat it. And the only evil thing that comes about is the fact that you were in disobedience. See the deception. Even today, we'll put our eyes on things that look good. We'll touch things that feel good. But it's in disobedience, and that's sin. And it separates you from having communion and relationship with God. Our rebellion. Those things that we do that are in opposition with God's holiness. Knowing his righteousness, we sin. We react according to what we see and what feels good. The pride of thinking that I can be smart, I can be wise. Man, if I could get some knowledge like God, if only I can study more, if only I can get this PhD, I'll get that job, that career I want. If only I can get a little smarter, I'll prove to everybody that I'm not dumb. And no matter how much education you get, you will always need God. Amen. The other day I was watching on the Discovery Channel. I turned it on for a few minutes and I was just scrolling through the titles of different shows and try to check out some of those history channels. And it was like a Discovery Channel and I saw it and it said, I said, the Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. I said, yeah, awesome. Something biblical, you know, to watch, you know. I turn it on, and it wasn't supporting, actually, the miracle of God. It was the attempt for man to prove God right scientifically. And if we proved God right scientifically, then it's a miracle. How backwards is that? If I can prove this thing right, it's not a miracle. What makes it a miracle is the fact that it's beyond me. And I just by faith believe that God is greater than me. And if God wants to part the Red Sea, he parts the Red Sea because my Bible tells me so. And it makes me just a believer in knowing. And to witness this episode was the reality and the truth that still today, men and women are still trying to be like God. And the attempt to say, we'll believe this as long as it makes sense to me. And so many people are walking in disobedience because they only will believe if it makes perfect sense in my mind. But you and I, our minds can't fully comprehend the majestic work of God. We've just been called to simply just be in obedience and just walk with him. And just to adore and admire the beauty of his work. Hallelujah. You see, this is why in portion of scripture here, this is why God said he allowed for Adam to name all the animals. You can name them. Don't ask me how I created them because it's beyond you. It's beyond your wisdom. It's beyond your understanding how I created a lion and an elephant out of nothing. But you can name them. And so here we are. Now we've got them in shame and in guilt. And so many people still today just feeling shameful and guilty because they're walking and living in disobedience, because they're reacting to the lust of their flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride, the pride that is destroying us, brothers and sisters, our pride, not willing to submit and be and just walk in obedience and just to receive God as your father who desires to just walk with you. And so here we are in shame, just like Adam and Eve, just fig leaves and loincloths is what they tried to cover themselves with. I don't know, have you ever seen a fig leaf? Scripture says that they sewed fig leaves together. That's a lot of work. Now you know somebody's desperate to cover up their mess when they start to sew fig leaves together. Because that don't make a bit of sense. Because every time we mess up and we attempt to cover things up ourselves, we just look more ridiculous than when we started out. Sewing up fig leaves with the vines. You can see Adam all frustrated. What were you talking to the snake for? And you know Eve was a better sewer than Adam was, so she was already wrapping around. Oh, shut up. Just cover yourself, you know? I mean, it's probably the first argument ever, right? In that moment. Because when we're in disobedience, that's when there's no peace. That's when we're starting to blame other people other than ourselves. When we're disobedient with God and when we're living a life in sin, everybody else is wrong except for us. No matter how dark our mess is, we're looking to blame somebody. It's my daddy's fault because he left me when I was only nothing but 5 years old. That's why I'm in the mess. It's my mama's fault because she's been prostituting her whole life. I don't even know who my dad is. It's her fault. And we find ourselves just trying to use the most silliest things in life to cover up our mess. We use anger to cover up our mess and we sow it around us. We use bitterness and rage to cover up our mess. We use sex to cover up our mess. We take pill after pill and drugs to cover up our mess and our shame. And there's not enough that can cover us up to hide us from the glory of God. And so scripture tells us that they hide. So not only they got fig leaves around them and a little loincloth around, but now scripture says that they're hiding behind trees. Probably just scooting around trying to find the biggest tree that they can hide behind. See, once again, once we attempt to fix our situation outside of Jesus Christ, we fall into more of a mess. Things just look ridiculous. Anybody, let me tell you something tonight. Tonight is your night to stop trying to fix your mess. Because Jesus shows up. He goes, hey! Because, you know, he'd been hanging out with him on a regular basis since day one, since he created him. So he comes up in the cool of the day. No storm clouds, no dark gray clouds. Sometimes we think God's going to come find us with these dark clouds and lightning and strike us down. That's why I love this moment of scripture, because scripture says he comes in the cool of the day, in all peace and in all love. Where are you? Where are you? It wasn't a question concerning location. He knew where they were. It was more a question regarding their condition. And what condition are you in? What's your status? Where are you? What sin have you done? What life is this that you've chosen to live? Where are you? What's your condition tonight, my brothers and sisters? What's your status right now? What condition is your mind in tonight? What condition is your heart in tonight? What condition is your soul in tonight? What condition? Because I'm here for you. I'm not changing my plan. I've come to sit, to talk with you, to hang with you. I've come with love and grace and mercy. I've come to find you out. You can't hide from me. No more hiding. Where are you? No more hiding. You see, I've just been amazed just kind of studying this, because I'm just moved by this. You know, it's amazing. You think about the master. You think about the moment that God and his son said, let us make man. And you think about that. You think about a God who's all-knowing. Scripture says that he's the beginning and the end. He knows all things. So even in the moment of creating us in his own image, he knew that we'd be disobedient. The only thing that makes sense for me to fully comprehend that has got to be a radical love for a rebellious people. That's a radical love. I mean, he could have wiped us out in that moment. He could have had that moment, him and the son, and said, let us make... never mind. Instead, let us make man in our own image. And in that agreement was the son's instant moment, his instant agreement to say, yes, I'm going to die for them. Yes, I'm going to be a substitute for their sin, for what they owe. See, the wages of sin is death. In that moment of disobedience, it required a debt to be paid, a sin debt, death. That's what it would cost. And in that moment, that God would come to us in our rebellion, that God would come to us in our disobedience, that he would come to us and say, where are you? It was that moment of him saying, here's my love for you. I'm not going to let you go. Here's my mercy. Here's my grace. No more hiding. When we created you, we also created the plan to keep you. No more hiding. When we gave you life, we also created a plan to give you eternal life. Hallelujah. You know, in scripture, there was consequences in that moment, and they were taken and removed out of the garden. And they couldn't have what was known as the tree of life. They couldn't touch that. God sent an angel to block that. But there'd be another tree of life happen. A new tree of life. Jesus Christ became the new tree of life. See, the tree of life was symbolic of recognizing that if we walked in obedience, that if we were in perfect communion with God, there would be everlasting life. But if we partook of that tree of life in disobedience, the eternal factor would be death. So now there needed to be a replacement, because we can't have that tree of life. God gave us a new tree of life. He gave us his son. His son. That through the son, Jesus Christ, who would go to the cross, hallelujah, would carry the cross, this piece of wood. He would carry a tree all the way up to Calvary. Hallelujah. You and I, we were hiding behind trees. But Jesus, he carried the tree on our behalf. And he carried the tree. And he went to Calvary. He died on the cross. And while you and I would still attempt to hide behind a tree in shame and guilt, Christ Jesus took on our shame on a tree and exposed himself publicly for you and I. While we were yet sinners, still trying to hide and cover ourselves behind a tree, the King of Kings went to the tree of life. He died publicly for you and I. While we were yet sinners, still trying to sow fig leaves, here he is, his blood poured out for us that sets us free and washes us and makes us whole again. No more hiding. No more hiding. I want to read this. It's in Psalms 103. My sister Ivory, who led us in worship this morning, she read it this morning. It says this: he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. We should be condemned forever. But he came in the cool of the day in love and grace to find us. Nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. As a father shows compassion to his children, as I was just studying this and this idea of no more hiding, I was thinking about my children. And they don't do it as much now as they've gotten a little older, but when they were a little younger, and still sometimes my 5-year-old and my 10-year-old, but I could be in the living room and I could come to them as they're playing throughout and I could say, listen, you can play, you can have fun, but don't go in mama's kitchen. She just cleaned that up. Don't touch nothing. Don't go for the cookie jar. Mama just wiped that kitchen down. I saw her. She put some work in. Don't you touch that kitchen. I'll go back to the living room. I'm sitting down watching ESPN. And all of a sudden, I hear little feet go by. And all of a sudden, I hear a bang. Ksh, bang. Ksh. Then all of a sudden, you hear quick feet take off. Now, I step out of the living room. I know how many rooms are in the house. I'm the one that rented the place. I know whose bedroom is whose. I know where all the closets are. I know where the bathrooms are. And I go walking down the hall. Hey, girls, where are you? And all the while, I know where they are. I know that they're in a corner in their room. But I'm coming not because I don't know where their location is. I come because I just want to know their condition, the condition of their heart, that when I do show up, already prepared to clean the mess up for them. As the father, I love them so much. I just want to clean up the situation. I just want to correct them and put them right back on track so that they can make it in time for dinner for mama's meal. I just go and say, where are you? In the hope that when I do show up, that they would honestly confess the condition. That they would honestly confess. Now, maybe on one given day, they might be like Adam and be like, it was the other woman. It was the woman that did it. You see the rebellion of our heart once we've messed up? You know, they had the opportunity right there to be able to say, dear God, we were wrong. We took of the tree. I ate, and you told us not to. But the human condition is to continue to make blame with someone else or some other situation. And of course, no matter what the response is, I've already got the plan as dad to bring healing to the situation, to fix it, to restore them back unto me so that they don't fear their dad, but to know that, yeah, what you did was wrong, but I love you, and we're going to keep on going. Well, that's our Heavenly Father tonight asking you and I, what's your condition? Will you allow me to be God in your life? Will you allow me to restore you back unto me? Are you willing to say, forgive me, God, for my sin? I've been wrong. forgive me, I need healing. Are you willing to do that tonight? To recognize disobedience, to recognize, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to turn from sin and head in this direction? And come back, grab hold of Jesus and receive his love. Are you willing? Let's stand together. As the music ministry comes, tonight, no more hiding. No more hiding behind anger, bitterness. No more hiding in wrong relationships. No more hiding in your pride. No more hiding in selfishness. No more hiding. I want you to come down tonight and let's pray. Let's receive Jesus as Savior, who is well able to forgive you of sin. And as long as you continue to try to cover up and fix things yourself, you'll be lost behind tree after tree. You'll be lost trying to cover up the wrong way, trying to sew up some other remedy. No more of that. I want you to start coming right now. If you're tired of hiding and you say, no, I need to receive Jesus. Maybe some of you, you've been coming to church for quite a while, but you really haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. You really haven't come to him and said, God, forgive me for my ways. I've been in disobedience. Tonight, no more hiding. Come down. Make time for it. Don't leave tonight without coming out of hiding. Say, God, just take my life. Take my life and be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is here with you. Hey, yes, he is. He's here. He's here. Praise God. Would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I'm stepping out tonight from my hiding place. Here's my condition. Have failed. I've been in disobedience. I believe you, Jesus, to be the Savior of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I confess I've been living wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, taking my sin. My place. Be my Savior. Make me whole again. I've tried to cover things up myself. Cover me now, Jesus, with your love. Cover me with your mercy. Cover me with your grace. Take away the guilt and the shame and give me peace. Make me a new person right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God.